I invite you now to hear the story of Jesus' journey in the wilderness, often the first story of the first Sunday in Lent. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during all those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. May the Lord our God bless the reading and the hearing of these words. Amen.
Lent is a time when we aspire to make some room for deeper introspection and practices that will draw us into the love and assurance of faith. But sometimes faith can feel not as assured as we hoped for. We can feel less than, perceiving that others seem to be able to be more faithful in their practices and beliefs. This Lent, rather than change for the best, we will seek to gain momentum one day at a time, to reach for a faith that is never perfect, but good enough. Those words were written by Dr. Marcia McPhee as an introduction to this Lenten series entitled, Good Enough. Together, we will explore how to understand our faith that is both far from perfect and a great place to find the presence of the divine. Dr. McPhee writes these words in response to this morning's gospel lesson. We find ourselves hungry for many things that we believe will bring us satisfaction. The devil lays a bet that Jesus will jump at the chance for glory, fame, and a quick fix. Who wouldn't? But Jesus keeps up the pithy one-liners long enough that the tempter just has to slink away. What are the temptations that catch your ear, singing out promises that your life should be more special than it is? What if ordinary life is already holy as is? She goes on to say, what if we could see our own wanderings and struggles with the incessant temptations to greatness as portals to a spirituality of integrity? A way of redefining perfection to mean which is perfectly suited for us, which might, in fact, be quite ordinary. Let me say it again. A way of redefining perfection to mean that which is perfectly suited for us, which might, in fact, be quite ordinary. The Latin, sacramentum, I didn't do well in Latin in high school, is a description of holy as the inbreaking of the divine on or in something quite ordinary, like bread and wine or water. I mean, the sacraments. Now, accepting the ordinary can be difficult. We are taught and raised to believe that the greater, the bigger the event, action, or accomplishment, the better. We romanticize and mythologize greatness. We worship the extraordinary. We crave perfection. But is it possible to find the holy in the ordinary? Can things that seem ordinary in our lives actually be the places where God enters into our lives? And can we find joy and contentment in trying? This Lenten series is based on a devotional book written by Kate Bowler called Good Enough. I'd like to share some of her words and my thoughts about how we might discover the holy in the ordinary. How can we be open to God's presence in the ordinary places in our lives rather than the anxious, ridden, fearful, emotionally distraught life based on expectations of perfection and the drive to do more and more and learn more to achieve more? How might we understand our life and our faith and know that what is before us is good enough? How can we avoid getting stuck in the past or depressing over the future and feel the presence of God's love and God's grace? Facebook often shows examples of people doing extraordinary things. A woman adopting 3 children on 2 different occasions and discovers they are all siblings. A stranger who gives a server in a restaurant a $2,000 tip. A couple who buys a waitress a car so she can spend time with her children rather than walking 4 hours round trip to work and home. These are extraordinary examples of love and compassion and kindness. These actions also promote the idea that we are only worthy if we do big things, extraordinary things. Now, Kate Bowler writes about the saint of small things. I didn't know this. The saint of small things. Her name is Teresa. Born in 1873 to a middle-class family in France. She lost her mom to cancer when she was 4 years old. She grew up an emotionally sensitive and spiritually interested child. As a teenager, she became a nun and joined a contemplative order, living in a sheltered life from the world. She spent all of her time praying, serving, and writing. Unfortunately, she died of tuberculosis at a very young age of 24. There's nothing particularly extraordinary about her life, except the remarkable way she decided to respond to her terminal illness. After learning she was going to die, she decided that her ordinary life would be lived with limitless love. She called it the little ways. Teresa wrote, "Love proves itself by deeds, so am I to show my love. Great deeds are forbidden to me. The only way I can prove my life is by scattering flowers. These flowers are very little sacrifice, every glance and word, and the doing of at least actions for love." Kate goes on and says, "We are often taught that our lives must be big to be remembered. But what if it was enough to scatter the flowers? To make small sacrifices. Instead of mythologizing the rich and famous, let's pause to celebrate all those of us who walk the little way." We seem at times to have built into us the desire to do great things. Bucket lists were quite the rage a few years ago and still are, I'm sure. I'm sure many of us may maintain a bucket list. After all, it's good to have goals and hopes and desires. And while helping us to plan for the future of our lives, the bucket list also may give us a sense of incompleteness and unfulfillment. Kate Bowler writes, desire can feel like an endless hunger, but there is a feeling that we get when we feel full. Contentment. And it is much harder to describe or explain. She writes about the Apostle Paul sitting in prison having something rather shocking to say about being content. His friends in Philippi sent some gifts as he waited behind bars, but Paul made a point of letting them know that with or without their presence, hungry or full, prison or free, in wealth or poverty, his contentedness remained. This helps to put popular verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Philippians 4:13. Paul isn't saying he could move mountains or that he vanquished pain, but he can find a kind of peace no matter the condition, good or bad, because of Christ's strength. Paul learned to be content, but it had nothing to do with his self-sufficiency, sheer luck, or comfort. He couldn't have known if he would ever be free or how the story would turn out in the end. Rather, his contentment came from God's presence alone. Now, much of our lives is spent doing things with purpose. I mean, so often what we do to accomplish something. We believe that what we do should have purpose or use. Everything we do should have an end goal. Kate Bowler writes, hyper-instrumentalization, the obsession with use, is a symptom of the pragmatism that has wound its way into almost every part of American culture. The question is, how useful was your day? But God can be found not just in the doing, but also in the trying. Venturing life to try something new for the sake of trying something new. And discovering what that might bring. Cherishing and embracing the act of trying rather than worrying about, is this useful or does it accomplish a goal or will I better myself? God can be found in the trying. Perfection is something that can produce great things, but also can produce anxiety and self-doubt. Kate writes, we are living in a culture that celebrates stakes qualities of perfectionism. Researchers have been following the rise of unrealistic and self-critical standards as a kind of social phenomenon. Mental health experts describe anxiety and low self-esteem as the result of ever-increasing standards of physical, social, and emotional perfectionism. End of quote. TV advertising, social media platforms, magazine ads promote this need for perfection. How we should look, how we should act, own, that gives us status and moves us toward perfection. This whole idea of perfection is a binary thing. Either you are or you aren't. And if you get wrapped up in it, it can eat you alive. Kate writes, if only we could trust that the giving of ourselves with all our imperfections has a value beyond rubies. We need a deep permission, a permission to ask for help, permission to get better, to fail. May I be clear that today's message is not about abandoning the extraordinary. Today's message is not about looking down upon or diminishing the ordinary. Today's message is to lift up the ordinary, embrace the ordinary, and find God in the ordinary places in our lives. We are to cultivate and enrich our faith in the ordinary things we do. And we are to embrace the ordinary while we still seek to attain the extraordinary while in the presence of God. Amen.